From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Andrés Manuel López Obrador is the new president-elect of Mexico. Voters handed López Obrador, or AMLO as he is called, a landslide victory, which came as no surprise after months of polling that showed he would win. He is the first left-leaning president to lead the country in decades. And Mexicans, tired of corruption and violence, are hopeful today. Winning 54% of the vote in a field with three other major party candidates, AMLO now has a broad mandate to reshape the country. His election spells bad news for the Trump administration, who he has vowed to protect Mexicans against. My guest is Roberto Flores, a professor of Chicano studies at Cal State Los Angeles, a longtime Chicano activist based in Los Angeles, founder of the Eastside Cafe, a space in El Sereno in Southern California that was in part inspired by the Zapatista movement. Welcome to the program, Roberto.
Hi, Sonali. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you think this victory represents, not for AMLO, but for Mexico, given that it's the first time in decades that the country has a leader that, well, let's just say, leans to the left?
I believe it is an opportunity. It's the beginning, like many people are mentioning. I think it represents, there are several dangers that AMLO is facing, and Morena.
Morena being his party. Mm-hmm.
The party. Morena is the name of the party. And it's the first time they ever win a presidency. And they don't have the majority. They don't have majorities in Congress. So they're going to have a hard time. They're going to have a hard time from the right, and they're going to have a hard time from the left as well, the ultra left. Mm-hmm. I think that there is some very good opportunities in terms of if AMLO decides to work together with the communities, if AMLO decides that he cannot do this by presidential dictate, but that it can only be this can only be done with the people, then I believe that this could be the beginning of turning Mexico around. However, it doesn't seem to me, there's doubtful. I have doubts in terms of how much success AMLO can have. I think we have to be careful of what I would call the Obama syndrome effect. When Obama came in, he had all this pressure from the right, which is similar to the way to AMLO's situation, and he conceded to be able to try to get some things done, but he conceded on major issues and major political areas, and I believe that AMLO is facing that type of danger. If it can become a bigger movement, if he can be part of a movement, if AMLO can join the people and not rule as traditional presidents have in Mexico, he would, I think, be able to help open the doors for a better Mexico in the future.
Let's focus on what it was that got him here, however. What does it represent that he is that he received nearly 54% of the vote? This is not the first time that AMLO ran for the presidency. The last time he ran, he did lose. And his party, Morena, is more of a coalition than a single party, right? So there's several new things happening here. But in terms of what led to him winning this time, what we are seeing in the press is that it is a widespread disaffection, disillusionment among Mexicans against violence and corruption. There were 130 people that were killed in the lead up to the election alone that were directly related to the election, among them several candidates running for office. So even the act of an election has become violent in Mexico.
I believe somebody opened fire in the electoral urns in Chiapas yesterday as well. Yes, it's been a combination of criminal violence as well as state violence. For instance, Ayotzinapa, and where the state came in and the military disappeared, probably murdered over 43 students. 43 were disappeared.
And this was an incident several years ago that really shocked the nation and became front page international news for weeks. You know.
And it galvanized the country. And this is the type of frustration and the anger that people haven't expressed at the urns yesterday. But it has to stay there. It has to stay with the people. Almo has to join the people thoroughly, or else the process of corruption will begin within his own Morena party. And because state power, given that it's a state, will absolutely corrupt. And so if they don't make it a movement that belongs to the people and the hands of the people, then you're not going to have a solution here. What you're going to have is the beginning of corruption. You're going to have compromises and consent with or working with the right. He's gonna do what Obama did here, without even when Obama had the majority, he acted that way. Now, you know, this is not Almo's situation. Almo is a very it's a different situation in Mexico. I think the president has more power. But, you know, look at the way Trump is acting. So that's debatable as well.
Mm. Well, but many people are comparing Andres Manuel López Obrador to Jeremy Corbyn in Britain, Bernie Sanders here in the United States. Are those comparisons apt, or is it more apt to compare him to Obama, as you've been doing?
I think it's more apt to compare him to Obama. Hmm. And the Obama victory is very, or the Alamo victory is very reminiscent of the Obama victory. I don't think that, yes, there's some comparison with Bernie Sanders, but you know, you could also compare the victory of Obama to Bernie Sanders. But then the actual period of ruling is, I think, what Almo is facing. He's facing something comparable to what Obama faced.
So in terms of his agenda, what do we know so far? He published a book last year that directly referred to Donald Trump, Oye Trump. It's been translated into English, by the way, under the title of A New Hope for Mexico, Saying No to Corruption, Violence, and Trump's Wall. How much of his agenda is based on opposition to neoliberal politics and neoliberal economic models being pushed by the United States, and also very specifically to Donald Trump?
This is where my doubts are where I have my doubts. I don't think that AMLO is poised to counter neoliberalism. He will try, perhaps, at first. But he may not have sufficient power to carry it out, so he'll start making compromises. His agenda, of course, is very much, his book is very much like Obama's book. And, you know, it's very much a part of the campaign and the promises and the commitment to the poor. And to stopping state violence. However, you know, and this is good, and this is an opportunity. And, you know, we have to, people have to make them accountable. And I think that's where the difference is going to be. If the people can continue, you know, pressuring and making him accountable, then I think it'll, this victory will be actualized.
Obama's book before his election was called An Audacity of Hope, and Andres Manuel López Obrador's English translation of his book called A New Hope for Mexico. So certainly the comparison there, at least on the surface, on the superficial level, seems apt. Now, he has taken on the issue of corruption. He has paid lip service to the fact that corruption is such a huge issue. And by corruption, of course, we mean the very obvious ways in which bribery has worked within the government, the ways in which there is a link between the military and the narco traffickers. How deep is his commitment to corruption? Because on that issue, Mexicans are likely to hold him accountable. That seems to be a very critical issue, very much linked to the violence that comes out of it comes out in the country as well, right?
Right. In terms of, I don't doubt his sincerity in terms of trying to curb corruption or deal with the corruption. What I doubt is his ability and his because of his method. His method does not seem. There's experiences where he was close to the Zapatistas at the beginning of 1994, 1995. López Obrador was very close to the Zapatistas shortly after the PRD started attacking the Zapatistas, and López Obrador did nothing to turn that around. So, we have reason to believe that he may give in to an extent. The corruption is very, very deep unless it's taken up. Like, for instance, the community of Cheran. The community of Cheran has on its own, they don't depend on López Obrador, but they will certainly work with López Obrador to keep the narcos and the corrupt military and police, local police, out of Cheran. So if López Obrador can work with communities like Cheran and the communities all over in Guerrero and Michoacán, then something can happen. Something good, because he'll be opening spaces for the community itself to take action. If this does not occur, if he tries to do this top down, it's not going to work.
Are
They're
there
not going to let.
lessons, Roberto, from other countries that have had left-leaning leaders such as Lula in Brazil, such as Chavez in Venezuela? Are there lessons from other left-leaning countries that you would suggest to AMLO and the people who surround him to ensure that the agenda that he's trying to promote is actually realized? Chavez showed that you have to have the people on your side. You have to ensure that your people are taken care of, that they see that the government works for them.
Exactly. I think an example on the other side, on the positive side, is Hugo Chavez from Venezuela. What he did was that what saved Venezuela, or those that are voting and active in favor of Maduro, and maybe not, they're not in favor of the corruption or anything, but they're in favor of keeping Maduro in power so that they can, continue the
And
revolution.
Maduro was the one who succeeded Chavez after
Yes.
Chavez died. Yeah. Go ahead.
Right. The reason why they were able to keep going to this extent with the amount of opposition that's been mounted by the US and the local elites is because he set up a community-based organization. He opened that space and he encouraged it, and he was on his way to develop another type of government. And that the bottom organizing independently from him was what has kept it going. And if López Obrador does not do that type of same thing, does not work with the people closely and have it be from the bottom up, then it's not going to work.
Now, Given the very, very large margin by which Lopez Obrador won, 54% of the vote, the next closest candidate had 20 something percent, and after that, 15 something percent. So he got a margin of vote that was larger by far. He won a majority. That gives him a broad mandate in the country. But among the challenges he faces could also be within his own party, right? What are some of the forces within the Morena coalition party that he had to form in order to be able to win on this broad platform that actually may hinder some of his goals?
I'm not that familiar with the different components of Morena, but in general, because it is a coalition, it is held together by victory. Involved in all in any type of coalition, you're going to have people that come from other traditions or that come from. I know everybody's fed up with a PRI and everybody's fed up with a PRD, and at one point the PRD was Morena. Shortly after, it became corrupt, and that's what occurs traditionally. You talk about I don't want to go too deeply into Nicaragua, but there's a lot going on in Nicaragua right now,
Yes.
and and even within Venezuela, the corruption. I'm not talking about Maduro and his closest friends or closest allies, but I'm talking about others in government. And that's the same thing that's going to occur with Morena as well. Many are going to pull in different directions. That's why it has to belong to the people. He has to figure a way to keep this coalition together through the pressure of the people and keep it focused. And because it's there's ultimately going to be egos and power involved here, and people go crazy when it comes to power.
He did initially promise to undo the energy reforms, the education reforms that Peña Nieto had pushed that were deeply unpopular. But then Obrador, in more recent weeks, basically pulled back from saying that he would completely undo it. Seems like those are a little bit of a warning signs about what he's completely capable of. I want to just, in the last few minutes of our conversation, talk about the relationship between the U.S. and Mexico, given the huge issue of immigration here in the United States, much of it from Mexico, much of it through Mexico, that is very much taken over the national dialogue and press coverage, given the family separation issue, and of course Trump's rhetoric and action on the border wall. What do you foresee for U.S.-Mexico relations under AMLO? Do you think that and they were not very good with Peña Nieto. Trump and Peña Nieto were very much on opposite sides of the issue. That traditional alliance between the US and Mexico was deeply strained under Peña Nieto. Under AMLO, it could only get worse, not better, right?
I'm not sure of the I'm not sure what he's going to do. On the one hand, Mexico has always been on the face, on the surface, to the public, for consume for public consumption, very much has to show a face of dignity for Mexico and oppose any type of attack such as Trump. And AMLO has to do this. And but on the other, there's been a lot of conceding. There's been a lot of giving to Mexico, to the U.S. on behalf of the past presidents, and so they've all stood up in terms of dignity. Even Fox, who is to the right of AMLO,
Vicente Fox, yeah.
Vicente Fox, who is a past president, set the tone as to how Mexico felt. So
Right,
there's
and
this.
Vicente Fox has been very active on Twitter, kind of egging
Right.
on Trump in the last couple of years.
Right. So there is this Mexican nationalism coming from the people that the presidents have to abide by, have to show the public that they are with them on that. But on the other hand, they give all kinds of concessions. They concede all kinds of stuff that is not out in the public, that they've made agreements. Well, don't publicize this, but this is what we're really going to do. And the free trade agreement was an important sign of this. This is something that was pushed by Cuauhtémoc Cárdenas, you know, who was a left-leaning PRD at the time, something similar to AMLO at this point. So I believe that what López Obrador does depends again on what his relationship is with the people. If he's consistent, I don't expect anything but from him, he's going to oppose Trump verbally on TV, in the media. He's going to oppose Trump, and at times very angrily. But what he really does, behind the scenes, is another thing. I think we have to wait and see what's going to happen.
You mentioned free trade, and actually López Obrador has said that he will support NAFTA. And of course, we've just heard from Trump that Trump won't sign any new NAFTA deal because negotiators have been reworking that deal over the past year or so. Trump has said that he won't sign any NAFTA deal until after the midterm elections here in the United States. So it's really interesting to see how the issue of NAFTA has almost flipped between the US and Mexico. So and some have pointed that López Obrador's allegiance or eagerness to sign on to NAFTA or a new NAFTA deal is another troubling sign. But of course, the devil is in the details, and what that new NAFTA deal actually includes is not yet completely clear.
Now, let's hope that it's a NAFTA that's fair, a trade agreement that addresses the environment, and all a NAFTA agreement that is fair to Mexico. Maybe López Obrador is talking about that, and he can probably get that if he is with the people consistently and he's getting the support of the people. But I'm thinking that at times when López Obrador talks about NAFTA, he's talking about that. Let's make NAFTA a truly fair agreement. And so let's wait and see what happens on that. It all depends.
And also another huge issue inside Mexico that it remains to be seen what AMLO's rule might mean is the treatment of Central American migrants and refugees that travel through Mexico on their way to the United States. Those countries, the countries like Honduras and El Salvador and Guatemala, many of them racked with violence, gang violence. And so a lot of people have been leaving those nations. And sometimes the most dangerous part of their journey has been through Mexico. Has López Obrador shown any commitment to improving conditions for migrants traveling through the country?
Verbally, he's talked about demilitarizing the southern borders with Guatemala and providing a different type of border patrol or assistance, perhaps, and de-escalating the type of violence, the state violence and criminal violence that occurs in that zone. And he's been talking about increasing the military presence, which I don't know exactly what that means, but increasing the military presence in the northern zone. So he is talking about that, and that's a good thing. That change in policy is significant.
Well, Roberto, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll continue to monitor the story in Mexico and see how AMLO's tenure develops. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Sonali. Thank you
Roberto
very much.
Flores is a professor of Chicano studies at Cal State Los Angeles, longtime Chicano activist based in Los Angeles. He's also the founder of the Eastside Cafe, a space in El Sereno that was in part inspired by the Zapatistas. We've been discussing election results in Mexico, where Andrés Manuel López Obrador, or AMLO, has been declared the winner in a landslide victory. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.